Exo Takeover.
A brand new episode of Exo Takeover. We are here, season three, and we're keeping it going with brand new guest After FM. Welcome back to the show. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. How are you?
I'm good. You'll have to excuse my voice because it's still not there yet. We're still here.
No worries.
We're still here, season three. It's great to have you a part of it again. For those who may not know who you are, do you want to introduce yourself a bit?
I go by After FM. I'm a content creator on mostly YouTube. I remix a lot of The Weeknd songs. I will recreate the live versions that he performs on tour. Most of my channel is dedicated to just remixing all of his music and turning everything into sort of like a different sounding song. It's honestly, I gotta say, I love doing all this stuff, man. It's really great just to be able to sit down and like change all the music and everything. And it's really fun. So yeah, if you guys have the time, definitely check out the channel. We really appreciate it.
Is there a particular remake that you've done that you like the most compared to others?
Well, just recently I did the Abyss, the live version that he performed. It was based off of MetLife. So a month ago now when he performed at MetLife. Yeah, so it was based off that version. And I got to say, I definitely like that one the most. I think it's some of probably just like my best like work when it comes to doing remakes. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
What can we expect to see from you in the next coming months? Any more in particular?
Well, right now I'm working on like a bunch of stuff in the background, and then in between like projects and stuff, I've got life stuff, so I haven't really planned on any like particular uploads within the next couple months, just sort of like here and there, little concepts, little things. I've got a big project that I'm working on with some other people in the EXO creator space. I'm not going to say what it is. A lot of people are asking me to do Hurry Up Tomorrow, and so I don't want to confirm that like I'm doing that, but it's definitely like conversations have been had, so who knows, maybe something related to that.
We'll just have to wait and see then, I guess. Whatever it is, I'm sure that it'll be worth the wait. But let's get into EXO Takeover. That's why we're here. As always,
yep.
Bunch of questions for you. And then we've got a new segment as well that we'll get into later. And then at the end, in typical fashion, five songs and why. But I want to start off with, how do you envision the future of EXO going onwards from, you know, past this point? The tour is almost towards an end. How do you envision the future of EXO looking like?
I still think that Abel's going to have a huge following, a huge fan base, no matter really what direction he goes. I mean, he's been talking about, you know, dropping the name of The Weeknd and sort of killing that character and focusing more on film and stuff. But I still think he's going to have a lot of people who back him, who are going to be fans of him regardless of just where things go afterwards. So I don't see a lot of us really leaving. I think EXO is mostly going to stay the same. I think.
You think that we can expect new music anytime soon?
I'd give it like a few years. I mean, we waited like 3 years for Hurry Up Tomorrow, and that's while he was still sort of in the same character of The Weeknd. So now that that's sort of done, I'm expecting him to take a little longer before we hear anything new.
Bit of a deep question next. How has The Weeknd's music impacted your life personally?
Wow. I mean, it's kind of all I listen to for the most part, right? And all my time is really spent like just listening to his music and then sort of breaking it down into pieces and making new stuff from it. I mean, it's impacted my life, and it's sort of taught me how to, you know, write and produce music and do everything sort of like how his team does it. So, and it's sort of inspired me creatively just to sort of pursue basically everything I can creative wise. I feel like Abel's definitely a very creative person, and his music also reflects a lot of that. I mean, he's making some of the most just out there and like creative music that we're hearing. And so I feel like I'm really inspired by that. And it's just definitely impacted just the type of music that I listen to and the type of music that I make and all of that.
Do you think that his music and the way that you're like remaking it, is that do you think it's allowed lots of the fans to become like sort of their own artists and take his music and then make it better and then put that into their own stuff.
Absolutely. You hear a lot of even like mainstream artists always reference Abel when it comes to their music. And I mean, Abel's fan base is full of a bunch of creative people. There are so many people that, you know, I can think of who do what I do in changing his music and learning how to produce through his songs. And I think that definitely sort of it's given people you know, their own voice in a way, taking his stuff and changing it or just using his influence in their art. I think it's definitely, yeah.
Fair enough.
I don't really don't know what else to say, really.
Going on with the music stuff though, Abel uses a lot of samples in his music. What do you think about the use of the samples in Hurry Up Tomorrow?
Oh, I think they're all really well done. I think they're honestly some of the best samples that he's done. I think in his entire catalog, really.
Any of them in particular, or just collectively?
Oh wow! I mean, I really like the Niagara Falls sample. That one's always that's always really good. Same with "Giving Up on Me." Those two, like right off the top of my head, I can think of are really great. And then even just the little bits of like Thriller that are in "Wake Me Up" are really good as well. So yeah, definitely those ones I think are probably some of his best samples, I think.
Do you think we'll get to the point where, a few years down the line, people start sampling The Weeknd's music in their stuff? I know that Meek Mill's done it a few times, but other than Meek Mill.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got so many songs that are already classics that I think further down the line, like when people sample it, you know, you'll sort of get that moment listening to their music, like, oh, you know, there's Blinding Lights or there's The Hills or something, you know. So I think, I mean, his music's already got a lot of that classic status, right? So I feel like it lends itself well to being sampled.
Fair enough. I want to talk about Nav for a quick minute. What were your thoughts on My Way to Rexdale and The Weeknd's hidden feature in there?
You know what? I didn't listen to the full album. I really only listened to just that one track, really. And I thought it was nice sort of utilizing him with like, you know, the background vocals and stuff, but I feel like there wasn't really much to it other than that, you know. I feel like he could have had more on there.
Fair enough. Because I know that Playboi Carti was on it as well. Do you think it's they're
Yeah.
touring together that he was on there?
Maybe. I mean, they had a couple collabs together at that point, but I honestly think that it was sort of just like Nav had Cardi on a song and it's like, well, you know, Timeless did well, Popular did well, let's put Abel on here and there's another song with the both of them. So I think that it was sort of just like, how do we capitalize on the popularity that those tracks already have?
There's definitely one song does not have that popularity, and that's the Timeless remix.
Yep. No, I've got my thoughts on that.
Care to share?
You know, I feel like there's not much that I can say really that hasn't already been said. I mean, I think I don't want to say Doechii's a bad artist because she's got some songs that I do enjoy, but I honestly think that sort of the push of her mainstream stuff, especially with Anxiety and with that remix, are not some of her better work. And I really think that her feature on that song was kind of just a cash grab, you know? But she just doesn't fit like at all.
Do you think there's someone that would have fit better on there?
I don't know. I mean, because I feel like Abel and Cardi already complement each other so well on that track. I mean, it would have to be, I think, I don't know. I feel like it would have to be somebody that he's already worked with, you know. I feel like another artist who's he's made music with, and so they can sort of establish themselves as having that like having that timeless, you know, vibe, I guess. I think if it were to be anyone, I don't know, maybe. Maybe Travis, maybe Kendrick, I don't know. I feel like if you wanted to go for a popular artist that would have fit better, I think putting Kendrick on the song would have probably been a better choice than Doechii.
I can see that happening. I don't know how it would go, but I feel like it would be a better fit, especially with the rise in popularity Kendrick is gaining with everything that's going on. I think that would
Oh
be
yeah.
right as well. But we'll move past Doechii and her music. No, Hurry Up Tomorrow has been out quite a while now. Not long enough, but long enough to really have had a chance for everyone to deep dive into it. And with it, how do you think the tackle talks about like mental health in this album? How do you think he addresses it in his lyrics?
I'll be honest, I haven't deep dived into it enough in that way personally, but
faith.
Yeah, I'm really trying to think of where he references it right now. I'm drawing a blank on a lot of the songs right now. The only thing I can think of is Timeless with the chorus about, if I were you, I would cut at my wrist thing. And that's, I mean, I feel like it's well known now that Abel's, self-harmed when he was a lot younger. He's got, scars on his wrist, and I think it's sort of a reference to that. I guess sort of he's not really like ashamed of admitting that he's done that, and I think that he's sort of accepting that that was his past, and sort of that he struggled with mental health issues, but he's sort of overcome that, I think.
Do you think he's showing a more positive side in this album? If we compare it with from Trilogy, the original Trilogy, to now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like, I mean, that original trilogy stuff is just so, it's so dark. I mean, it's very dark stuff. And to now, he definitely seems like a lot lighter, a lot happier person now. And you can definitely hear that just sort of from what he sings about and sort of just the style of the music and everything. I feel like he's grown a lot for sure.
You can just tell with the for each of the albums just how better he's gotten. He's not afraid to address the mental health side of it. It's something to be proud of if you think about it, the fact that he's come a long way, and to where he is now, and finally like in that acceptance of rebirth and all that. But
Yeah.
We're coming up tomorrow, a lot of new it'll be bringing in a lot of new fans that have probably never heard of The Weeknd before. I wanted to ask how do you go around approaching new artists personally?
I mean, a lot of times I'll listen to like whatever the songs are that are like trending at the moment, or like the songs that I first get into them. I'll listen to that a handful of times, and then I'll try to listen to the album or sort of the era that those tracks are from, sit with that for a bit, and then start diving into the older stuff afterwards. And that's sort of what I did with Abel. I'd heard his songs when I was younger, all the Beauty Behind the Madness and Starboy stuff when that was coming out, but I was never like a huge fan. It wasn't until around After Hours that I actually sat down and I listened to a lot of those singles that came out first, a lot of the popular stuff, and then went back and listened to After Hours. And then I listened to After Hours, and then I think I listened to House of Balloons after that, and then worked my way through his discography after that. So yeah, I start with the new stuff, and then I will work my way back, or just go straight to like the beginning of their catalog.
I think that's the same for a lot of people that we've had on the show. Have all said like After Hours was the one that brought me in. Do you think we might get that? We'll hurry up tomorrow. That it'll bring people in like the same way After Hours is done.
Maybe. I think the thing is with Hurry Up Tomorrow, it's a lot longer of an album. I feel like it's a lot, I don't know, with people's attention spans nowadays, it's a lot harder to get through longer projects. Even myself, sometimes I find it a little difficult to sit down and listen to a much longer album. I mean, simply because I work a lot, so I don't really get a lot of time to sit down and listen to albums. So when I do, if it's like, I think Hurry Up Tomorrow is like what, an hour and a, like it's like almost an hour and a half, right?
Something
Something
like
like that. That's, I mean, right now, if I were to listen to Hurry Up Tomorrow for the first time, I'd have to like listen to it in different segments. I wouldn't be able to sit down and listen to it all the way through. So I feel like with Hurry Up Tomorrow, people might find that it's a bit too long and might not want to sit through that. Especially, it's a lot to ask of fans, especially when they're first getting into an artist. So, I mean, with After Hours, it's not a short album, but it's definitely shorter than Hurry Up Tomorrow. And I think that a lot of people will go back to After Hours. I mean, simply because even just, Blinding Lights is on there. And that's like his most popular song. So people are, I think, are gonna resonate more with, the most popular song. And here's the album that it's with over a project that, while it's new, is, a lot longer.
With Blinding Lights, do you think that that song is ever going to get dethroned in terms of the amount of streams it's had on Spotify?
Maybe. I think it might be a while, but I'm sure there'll be something, because it's, I mean, how long have you seen other songs sit at, the top for, years and years, right? So But they eventually got dethroned by Blinding Lights. So definitely, I feel like there could be a song, but it might be a while before we see it or hear it, I guess.
It might even be Abel himself. I know that Starboy is slowly rising up quite fast behind.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Could be honestly, if anyone were to dethrone Blinding Lights, it probably would be Abel. It probably would be one of his songs. Yeah, no, maybe. But I feel like it'll be a while before we see that.
Fair enough. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
In terms of like influence, going back to influence again, how do you think this album will be? I'm trying to find like the right phrasing for it. Like perceived by critics, we've had the Grammys apologising over After Hours stuff. How do you think this album is seen perceived by them?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I'm not part of the Recording Academy, so I definitely can't say for sure. But I feel like if I were, I would probably like if I were thinking how they would think about this, I think they would definitely think it's a, creative, very creative project. Like I said before, it's very experimental. I mean, you've got all these different samples, and it's brushing from electronic to soul to R&B to pop, and it's got all these different fusions. And Abel's always been known for that. But I think they're going to take into account just the amount of different aspects and different avenues that the album takes, and
So, yeah.
R&B album of the year, I think, just because it's going down so many different avenues in the creative choices it's making. And so I feel like it's really hard to compete with that album. It's got a lot to it. It's a long album, so there is more to, I guess, critique and look at and analyze, and more to give praise to. Whereas if there were like another R&B album that's, 10 tracks or something like that, so there's a lot more to look at there. So I feel like it's definitely got a better chance at doing really well if, it gets submitted to the Grammys,
I think that they'll nominate it a lot and try and make up for what they did for After Hours, or do you think that they'll just up?
They could maybe they might get a handful of nominations, but it's not really down to like a small group of people that work directly for the Recording Academy. It's down to all the other artists in the industry who are listening to his music and voting for it. So I don't know, we'll see. I think it'll definitely get a handful of nominations for sure, but I don't know if, because they did him dirty with After Hours, if they'll make up for that.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see again. A lot of waiting and a lot of seeing.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a lot of waiting and seeing. I feel like we're sort of in a limbo right now. While he's on tour, he's promoting the tour and less of, what's to come and like with the album and stuff. So yeah, we'll just have to wait.
Do you reckon they'll announce the European tour soon?
I'd give it like a couple of weeks to a month after he's done in America. I think that he'll want to keep the hype going of the fact that he's on tour. But I don't think it'll be immediate. I think he'll want to like relax for a few weeks before he gets back into it. Because that man is going strong. He's been back to back to back. I mean, what is he, four shows in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely he's gonna need some rest after this.
Well, it needs to rest up and hurry because I'm waiting here. I've been waiting.
Yeah, I bet. Do you think he'll like change the set list for Europe again?
I think he'll change the set list, and I reckon he might change the stage up a bit as well.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I mean, he did that with the tour in 2022. I mean, it was so it well, it wasn't super different from America to Europe, but it was different enough. And I think that yeah, he'll probably do something like that again.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it because I am going to be going to so many of those shows. So
I bet.
you need to hurry up, but not too quickly because I need to save up.
Yeah, no, that is true. Are you gonna try and get in floor seats, front row?
I'm gonna try to do VIP for one of them, and then the rest I'm just gonna do whatever I can.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, one VIP should be good.
Yeah, just because then I've experienced it and I've got close, and then the rest I'll just be there just to enjoy it. I think for as many as I can go to, and then hopefully I'll do some stuff on the road as well. We'll see.
Right, man. Yeah, it sounds like you're gonna have a busy year when he comes to you guys.
Yeah. I want to wrap up the questions before we get into the new segment with what does EXO, we started with asking about what you think of EXO as a collective, and I want to ask what does EXO mean to you personally?
I think it just represents sort of us and our journey with Abel, but also Abel's journey as an artist from, Toronto and, starting at, 19 and, being homeless and on the streets and starting his career and, all the way to now and just sort of gaining fans and building sort of, I guess, a family in a way of, support and people who, love him, love his music. And so I think, yeah, it's EXO just embodies that journey for all of us, really.
I don't think I could have said it better myself. Maybe EXO's the friends we made along the way.
Yeah, that's honestly, yeah, great way to put it.
So that's it for questions. It is now time to introduce the new segment part, exclusive for season three. So it's
Okay.
kind of like Family Feuds, and it's gonna be the same questions for all the guests. It is based on answers that the people at home watching and listening have provided. So,
Okay.
most common answer, you'll get the most points, so on and so on. And if it's not on the list, you'll just get 1 point. You'll all be battling out gets the highest points, and the winner will get a season three EXO takeover trophy.
Nice.
We do not have at the minute because it's not been made.
All right. No, that sounds exciting. Yeah.
So there is six questions, and you can win a total of 60 points.
Wow. Okay. Get me on the hot seat here, man. I'm like,
Yes.
I'm ready, man.
So I'll start off, and then just first answer that comes to mind. Don't second guess. There's no wrong answers, but there is. So,
All right.
name the best song by The Weeknd.
Blinding Lights.
Okay, name a song, name the best feature by The
Like a song that he's featured on, or somebody that's on his
Weeknd.
What's for Life with Lana Del Rey.
Okay, name a song by The Weeknd beginning with the letter W.
Waste of Time.
Okay, name The Weeknd's best project.
After Hours.
Name an underrated song by The Weeknd.
Tears in the Rain.
And then finally, name the worst song by The Weeknd.
Dark Times.
I like that answer.
Just trying to play the game.
Let me try. I'm gonna try and do like a scoreboard thing for the people watching as well. So let's see, Blinding Lights.
I think I wanted to answer After Hours for that one, but I didn't even think of
Okay, so Blinding Lights gets you 1 point.
it. Man.
And then for question number two, the feature, you said Lust for Life. That gets you 5 points.
Wow, okay.
For question three, you said Wasted Times. That gets you 10 points.
Nice.
Question four, you said After Hours. That's 10 points again. Question five, you said Tears in the Rain. That's 1 point. And then lastly, you said
Man, I feel like nobody talks about that song.
Dark Times. That's 10 points again. So you have a total of 37 points.
Thank you. Man, I'm actually surprised that Tears in the Rain wasn't like on that list, dude.
It is
I feel like
one of
when
my
I
favorite.
will talk about underrated songs from him, I feel like that one like always comes up.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. It's not me that did it. It's the people watching and listening. So we'll put like a screen showing your points and how you compare to the other
Okay.
guests. Do you reckon?
All right. I think I'm like probably middle of the road. I feel like there was definitely some ones that I could have answered differently that would have got me more points. I definitely think that for like his best song, a lot of people say After Hours, and I didn't think of that until like
Well,
after I said it, the Blinding Lights.
I'm not
So
going to give away what the other answers are.
obviously not. Obviously not.
But yeah, so that's that segment done. Good luck, and let's hope you win the trophy that isn't. But just imagine it's here.
Yeah.
And now it's time for traditional style. I'm going to hand it over to you and ask you for your top five EXO songs and why.
In no particular order, I'm just gonna list these. I think I Was Never There. I love that one. I think the production is absolutely amazing, and just the raw emotion from Abel's vocals is wonderful. What he sings about is, just it's really, really heartbreaking, So definitely that one. That's one of the top five for me. Man, what else? I've been listening to Dirty Diana or Dee Dee a lot. Love that song. I think just the Michael Jackson cover is brilliantly done. I feel like if anybody were to cover Michael Jackson and for it to be like really good, it would be Abel. The comparisons between them are they're there, and I feel like rightfully so. I mean, they do sound similar, and they, have a similar style, I think. So yeah, so DD, another top five for me. Let me see. I think Can't Feel My Face is also a really good one. I think that was sort of his first like mainstream stepping stone into like the pop sound that we associate him with now. I think it's just, yeah, it's got this really wonderful, classic vibe. I think it's great. Was that three? So four, I really like Professional a lot. I think Professional is also great off of Kissland's a phenomenal album. And I think the samples that he chose for Professional were good. Sort of him introducing us into this world that he's built for Kissland with Professional, and sort of how he's sort of adjusting to fame, I think is that's also really good. And then I think for a fifth song, I think After Hours is definitely a top five for me. Again, production on it's insane. It's all around vibe. I mean, perfect like night driving song. Just throw that on and drive for, as long as you can. I will honestly, I'll drive at night and I'll just put that on repeat. Honestly, it's just such a good track. Even the live version of that song is especially great too, when he gets the whole crowd singing with him. It's awesome. So yeah, I think those are probably my top five right now.
That is a good top five.
Oh, thank you.
I love that. After Hours is such a good song to listen to after hours.
Oh yeah.
But probably why you called it that, but that is it, I'm afraid, for today's episode.
Wow. Quick 30 minutes, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely didn't have issues at the start setting up.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. That was a little rough.
Thank you so much for once again being a part.
Yeah, of course.
It's so great to have you back, and it's so great to,
Yeah.
bring this back for another season, and hopefully one more afterwards, I think, and then we'll see what
Yeah.
goes.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. Thank you so much for having me on. I had a, absolute blast here again talking to you again, answering all the questions and stuff. Yeah, glad to be part of this again. Glad to see it taking off and you doing well with this, man. It's absolutely, amazing to see.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much.
Of course.
We'll be back next Sunday for more special guests, more questions, and talking more things, etc.